Sabbath blessings, everybody. I pray that you can hear me well. There's a new battery in the microphone this week. Okay, good, good. All right, if you can kneel your at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that come in our lives to help our characters grow to be more like your Son. We pray, Father, for our loved ones that are in Florida and all the people of Florida, as well as those that are in Cuba, that you keep them safe, Father, because there's a rather large hurricane bearing down on them. And we do have many loved ones in that area. So we pray, Father, that you keep your hand about them. We also thank you for answering prayer regarding all those that are on our prayer list with the spoken and the unspoken requests. Those that help the ministry, Father, we pray that you bless them in the ways that you have promised. Those that are involved in this last day movement, we pray that you bless their hand and their feet or wherever it is, and their mouths, whatever it is that you call us to do. Thank you for giving us work to do for you and for blessing it. We pray, Father, that you give us the latter rain that we so desperately need, and also that we have a faith that's worthy of the latter rain as well. Teach us to draw nigh to you so that, that you'll draw nigh to us. And we also thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers in regards to loved ones that are sick, especially Donna's niece, who is having a biopsy or something in regards to cancer. And we pray that it comes out negative, but if it does come out positive or whatever, we pray that she's blessed with a healing that brings her closer to you, because you have taught us so much about the natural methods that are out there in the world right now for healing, and it allows us to bring your truth to these people as well when we help them in times of sickness. As we come together in worship, we thank you for being among us as your word promises. And we pray that you bless us with understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably going to have some folks unable to make it today because of the storm. So, in Florida, the hurricane's going to be there tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. Well, it hit Cuba. It's finishing up on Cuba right now. It's just coming off of it. And so I was checking the radar. Because, you know, I don't know where anybody lives. I know where Rick lives in Florida, and he's just behind Pensacola, and that's the, it's going northwest, so it's going to curve as it hits the Gulf, and it's going to slam into Pensacola head on, is what they're saying. So we're keeping Rick and his family in prayer, because that's. It's a scary time, because not only is you got to deal with a hurricane that could throw 150 mile an hour winds, and I would think it's worse than the winds of a tornado. I mean, a tornado can get up to 300, 325 miles an hour, but with the big ones. But the tornado's in and out real quick, does its damage, and that's it. A hurricane's unrelentless. I mean, it just keeps coming on you and just banging on you all night long. Sometimes it could go 12, 15 hours, and even if it's only 100 miles an hour. You know, it's going to take its toll. So keep them in your prayers. Keep them all in prayers. Because we got a lot of friends like Bonnie and a few other folks that live in Florida. I don't know exactly what, you know, area in Florida they live, but I just happen to know where Rick does because he kind of pointed it out on a map to me. So it's a scary place to be, I guess, at this time. All right, we're still in last day events. For those of you that haven't hit that little click here by now, We have set a date for the convocation, and keep Brother Rob Tesler and his family in prayer too, because there may be a situation that's causing problems for them around that time in September. So keep it in prayer that everything goes well, that they don't have a problem coming out, because they have some neighbors there that are not very nice. Let's just put it that way. And they may generate some problems for them. We're just keeping that in prayer. Will we give the dog something to chew on? He's getting a little, you know, rolling around, making all sorts of noises. All right. Okay, we're still in the book, Last Day Events. Get F3 on. Okay. And then when you, click it. Diet, health, and drugs, that's where we're at. So just click the yellow thing. It'll jump you right to it. Just go ahead and you click it. Everybody goes. Everybody will jump automatically. So that's where we're at. It's kind of a long letter, so I hope I get through it today because it's huge. So I'm going to try not to comment as much because Sister White is talking to Kellogg, you know, the Kellogg's cornflakes guy that invented that and all that. He used to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and he had some problems towards the end of his walk, from what I understand. I haven't done a lot of research on him, and I probably never will. I just, from what I understand, I've seen things, a few things here and there that said that he may have stepped away from the message towards the end of his life, like others have. So, anyway, this is her letter that she wrote him in April, on April 8th, 1889. Letter 67. All right. It says, I have just read your letter. This, with the enclosures, was the only mail I received this month. I am very much better in health. I can accomplish a large amount of writing, and I find there are many things to engage my mind. I wish I could see you face to face, but as I cannot, I will write. Thank you for your prescription. I will be careful. The Lord help me. And by the way, when she says prescription here, he's not prescribing drugs, okay? This is, you know, back in them days. They wouldn't be doing that. She goes, I will be careful. The Lord help me is my prayer, and I pray that the Lord may help you, my brother, that you may not take on too many burdens, and by so doing, disqualify yourself for the management of them. Should you be removed by sickness or death, who is there prepared to carry these responsibilities? The physicians under you may have an interest in this large and broad work, but they have not the long experience you have had. While you are in a position to educate, you should select a number of men and train them to carry the responsibilities. Under your education, they may learn to do the work you have been doing by the help of God has given you. By the help God has given you. Kind of reminds me of Joshua getting setting up men before he died, and the children of Israel more or less stayed in line after Joshua died with the men that were left behind. But then after they died, everything kind of got, you know, messed up after that. That's always the case. I mean, if you look at some of the, you look at history, and you see some of the people that started movements, if you will, you know, like John Wesley and even Martin Luther. I mean, after these guys die, the people that were affected by their walk and their message had a tendency to dwindle away after their death. Like even with Sister White, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was going downhill while she was still alive, too. I mean, she even mentioned certain things about the General Conference not being sent by God to do certain things, you know, to do anything for that matter. But it got progressively worse after she died. Okay, hold on, I got to get this book to fold properly. Okay. The influence you have gained in the medical profession is large and broad, and in some respects it has been as God would have it. You have caused the light God has given you to shine forth to others, and this light has influenced others in the medical work. But according to the light the Lord has given me, some of the spirit of Freemasonry exists and has built a wall about the work. And by the way, the Freemasons were more or less designed and created, just like the Muslims were designed and created by the Vatican for obvious reasons to do what they're doing. And now you've got, it's like a 50-50 thing set up in the Vatican now. It's like half Masons and half Catholics, the way the Vatican's set up. That's one of the reasons John Paul I was poisoned, because he wanted the Masons out. He didn't realize what was coming, what was happening. You know, they let them know. It's kind of like a know-as-you-go kind of a thing, or a need-to-know basis. And when he needed to know, he didn't like what he heard, and that's why they killed him. And then John Paul II came in and, of course, had no problem with it because, well, he had no problem with a lot of strange things. He used to sell cyanide to Nazis when he was a youth. Or not a youth, when he was a young adult. A youth is a teenager. All right, the old regular practice has been exalted as the only true method for the treatment of disease. And to a large degree, this feeling has leavened the physicians connected with you. You have resorted to drugs in cases of fever to break it up, as they have thought. This method has, in several cases, broken up fevers and other diseases, but it has broken up the whole man with it. Okay, and so obviously the Freemasons are bringing this stuff in, but the actual pharmacy or sorceries that Revelation 17 speaks of, and it's called pharmakia or pharmacies today, is thanks to the Vatican. Anyway, it's continuing. It says, the Lord has been pleased to present this matter before me in clear lines. Fever cases need not be treated with drugs. The most difficult cases are best and most successfully managed by nature's own resources. This science, fully adopted, will bring the best natural methods, helping every function of the human machinery to act in its own strength, the part the Lord designed it to act in, restoring itself to the to proper action. Well, aspirin and Tylenol, I would think those are drugs. Yeah. I don't know if that's what they were bringing in or not. I don't know. But I would rather take natural methods than aspirin or Tylenol. I know what you're saying. She goes on to say, Dr. Kellogg, God has given you favor with the medical fraternity, and he would have you hold that favor. But in no case are you to stand, as do the physicians of the world, to exalt allopathy above every other practice and call all other methods quackery and error. For from the beginning to the present time, the results of allopathy, whatever, does anybody know what that is? Allopathy? A-L-L-O-P-A-T-H-Y? Medicine what? Some type of, I can't hear. Medicine on today? Yeah, the results of allopathy have made a most objectionable showing. There has been loss of life in your sanitarium because drugs have been administered, and these give no chance for nature to do their work of restoration. Drug medication has broken up the power of the human machinery, and the patients have died. Did you get that? Drugs, it's like putting sugar in a gas tank. It's going to break up what was designed to work on its own. Continuing, it says, others have carried the drugs away with them, making less effective the simple remedies nature uses to restore the system. The students in your institution are not to be educated to regard drugs as a necessity. They are to be educated to leave drugs alone. The medical fraternity, represented to me as Freemasonry, with their long, unintelligible names, which common people cannot understand, would call the Lord's prescriptions for Hezekiah quackery. And that's the case what they do today. Like the AMA calls homeopathy or holistic medicine or any kind of natural healings quackery, when in fact they themselves are the quacks, because the people that use natural methods are actually healing people. It's actually working, whereas the AMA is masking symptoms and they don't heal anybody, so they are actually the quacks. It's always the case. It's like with the Catholic Church going around with over a billion people strong saying Sabbath keepers are the cult, when in fact they themselves are the cult. You know, it's always the ones who are in tune with the rest of the world with the evils that have, you know, it's just backwards theology. And it works. You know, it gets the people to fall for it. Continuing, death was pronounced upon the king, but he prayed for life, and his prayer was heard. Those who had the care of him were told to get a bunch of figs and put them on the sore, and the king was restored. This means was taken by God to teach them all that all their preparations were only depriving the king of the power to rally and overcome disease. His body couldn't do what it had to do. It's just like Dr. Day, when she first found out she had that breast cancer, they were telling her to go to get chemotherapy. She was a physician, and she was saying, look, I know how the body can heal itself. I know about the internal workings, the immune system. If you give me chemotherapy, sure, it might kill some cancer cells, but it's also going to kill what my body needs to heal itself. And that's when she found out about Sister White and the Bible and everything, and then found out the natural methods. And, of course, she's gone a little bit downhill since then, but with some of her doctrines. But the fact of the matter is, when she first came about, she was healed in the proper manner. Continuing, while they pursued their course of treatment, his life could not be saved. The Lord diverted their minds from their wonderful ministries to a simple remedy of nature. There are lessons for all of us in these directions. Young men who are sent to Ann Arbor to obtain an education which they think will exalt them as supreme in the treatment of disease by drugs, will find that it will result in the loss of life rather than restoration to health and strength. And that is happening to this day. More people are dying in hospitals than planes, car accidents, and alcohol combiners. I can't remember the exact statistics. It was an unbelievable huge amount. And that's just from accidents, you know, like medical overdoses or whatnot, or mistakes in surgery. But some of these drugs, these especially the experimental drugs, they try on people that actually kill the people. You know, and then they come up with it, oh, it's an acceptable loss. If we give this to 1,000 people, only 10 die. Yeah, would you like to be one of the 10? I mean, just... But with God's methods, none of them are going to die. You know? Unless, of course, they're just way past, you know, healing. Anyway, continuing, it says, these mixtures place a double taxation upon nature, and in the effort to throw off the poisons they contain, thousands of persons lose their lives. Because now they're not only fighting the disease they have, they're trying to fight off whatever you're putting in their body. We must leave drugs entirely alone. She doesn't say somewhat alone, she says entirely here. For in using them, we introduce an enemy into the system. I write this because we have to meet this drug medication and the physicians in this country. And we do not want this practice, as in Battle Creek, to steal into our midst as a thief. We want the door closed against the enemy before the lives of human beings are imperiled. Now, from what I understand, Loma Linda and whatnot, they use, you know, chemotherapy. They do it all now. They're doing like the rest of them. They have given up. They have stopped healing people and decided to start making money instead. Because if you heal somebody, you lost a customer. Literally. Continuing, she goes, Dr. Kellogg, I am perplexed to know what to do for means. But I do not ask you to take this burden upon you. God forbid that you should have any unnecessary burdens to bear. One thing I shall do. I shall make appeals to every church, irrespective of any persons in responsible positions. There is a work to be done in this country, and the people who have had the benefit of my husband's labor and my own in building up the work of on the Pacific Coast and in Battle Creek must understand how hard we have labored and help us. I do not call on the conference. I come to the people and appeal to them for help. If we can get established, we shall work without assistance. But we must have help now. We cannot do without it. You write that the conference says that Australia has had more means than any other place. That may be. But as long as the providence of God opens new fields for us, shall we refuse to enter them and refuse to establish in this new world a working force that will send laborers into other fields? How can the people hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except he be sent? That's my favorite verse when I, yeah, Romans 10:14. I used to, yeah, how will they hear without a preacher? And as a matter of fact, when I first started on the internet, I had America Online as in Romans 10:14@AOL.com was my email address. I never forget that. Anyway, we mean by the help of God to warn the world to carry our testimony to regions beyond. We are called upon the Lord to preach the truth without delay. All the country between the places where interests are already established is calling for the truth. And this is one of the reasons these lies are coming in, because, you know, there is a battlefield, if you will. We have, this is like it's happening today, there's people being affected by this message that we have to bear, and the devil's going to come in and try to shut it down, you know, because it's spreading. People are leaving Babylon. And it's not just in the Seventh-day Adventist churches. They're leaving it in, you know, all the churches. We have heard the third angel's message, the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and this truth is to encircle cities and towns. We are to carry the message from point to point, establishing in each a little community of missionaries. The workers in Australia are directed to enlarge the sphere of their labors by sending help to the unpromising fields and regions beyond, where the standard of truth has never yet been lifted. We do not propose to colonize, to build up strong centers to the neglect of other fields, but we are to enlarge the circle of our operations as those, in other words, if you try to start something new here and you're not finished starting something new there, it's just going to fall apart. You've got to continue on working where you've already started, where you have the interest, you know, let it blossom even more and more and more. And then when you get to a point where, it's just like with starting churches. If I
like if we started bringing people into the house on a regular basis, actually going out banging on doors and whatnot, as soon as you get to a house this size, like if, well, let's say we had a church building, if you got up to 75 people in the church, I think right about that time you got to start seeking somebody in that church who can pastor. And then when it reaches 100, by then, have that man take 50 and take that, you know, split the church in half. You know, have it get, you know, because they're all going to be coming from different areas, of course, but then move half of the church out, half of the people out of the church they were starting with, and have them go to another church that's closer to where they live, you know? And that's how you spread. You just pop up all over the place. But no, you got these pastors out there that want mega dollars. And they've got churches that've got 3,000 to 5,000 seats in them. How do you pastor that many people? You just can't do it. You can't do it effectively. It's impossible. I don't care if you have 12, like junior pastors helping you. How do you do it? It's just impossible. You can't do it. Continuing, we are to enlarge the circle of our operations as those who believe they are giving the last message of warning to the world. God's professed people in America should have been awake to do this work. In the place of centering so many interests in Battle Creek, plans should have been made in city after city. If they had been filled with zeal for the truth, they would have let their light shine to others and would have labored to prepare a people to stand in the day of the Lord. We may have had more means than many other places, but we have a showing for all this. Progressive work has been done. New fields have been entered, and still there are more openings around us. We are to transverse all parts of Australia. Missionaries are needed who will come to this country to do earnest work for the Master. May the Lord arouse His people who know the truth to impart the knowledge they have. Let us pray each day the prayer so full of meaning that Christ gave His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, that's Matthew 6. Verses 9 and 10. Aggressive warfare is before all who believe the truth. We are to make unbounded progress in improvement in carrying forward the work that mortal man is privileged to do under the command of the great general of armies. And that's a capital G, by the way. God sends His angels as ministering spirits to go before the true worker and unite with him. The truth is to work our hearts by the Holy Spirit's power. We are to call upon those who know the truth to enter into the work of cooperating with the angels of God. We are to be discouraged at nothing. We are to hope for everything in moral advancement, in spreading the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to call upon the Lord in every emergency at every step. I like that. To keep, you know, constantly pray without ceasing kind of a thing. Living principles are laid down in the Word of God. Why do not believers read to a purpose and obey? Why do they not appoint themselves missionaries? We need families in Australia, not men and women who wish to be carried, but workers, wise men who can manage. We want those who can lift with us. Our duty to the world is broad and deep. We are to do unto others as we would they should We are to do unto others as we would they should do unto us. The truth must go everywhere, and we want those who can plead with the Lord in prayer, who will bend the knee before God, abolishing the fashion which has come in among our people and has been transported by our workers to the other countries, or standing like the Pharisees and praying to be heard of men. That's annoying. I mean, I see people do that all the time. We want all who know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, to bow low at His footstool and pray that the world may hear the message of warning, that it may be caught up by those who hear it and carry to those who know it not. Let us kneel before God with humble hearts and give expression to our reverence for Him. All pride, all pomposity must be laid in the dust. Make known your desires to God. The sincere, true-hearted worker will not fail nor be discouraged, for God from His high and holy place looks upon the contrite one, and He will empower him at every step. So don't worry. I mean, sometimes it does get a little overbearing. Like for myself, I see a lot of things. I put too many irons in the fire sometimes. But I know... And I get to the, it gets a little bit rough at times, but I have learned to put things on the back burner, you know, and be about the work. Because there's some things that, you know, you busy yourself with that it's just not necessary to do. Just don't do it. It's a waste of time. You know, there's other better works to do. And the devil will always try to get you to do that, too, like we used to say, chasing rabbits. You know, because, and I know how you hate that term, but the fact of the matter is that's what the devil will do sometimes. I can remember when I first started doing a lot of stuff online. And one of the main things that the devil would always do was cause problems for the computer. And at first, I had no idea what the problems were. It was just, I'm trying to repair it here, trying to repair it there. And it wasn't until the word virus started becoming more popular that you started realizing the reason you keep having these computer problems is because you get these little baby viruses and, you know, spyware or whatnot. Well, not the spyware, this is before the spyware. So the devil will keep you busy doing things to keep you not doing what you're called to do, too. So, and when you are called to do something and it does seem a little overbearing, don't worry. The Lord will empower you every step. He will set in action almighty agencies to warn the world to prepare to meet his God. The human instruments through whom God works are not to stand as now in discord and variance. Those who have faith in Christ as their all-sufficient Savior will be in perfect unison with him. When self is hid with Christ and God, there will be no disunion, no variance, no strife. All will be in perfect sympathy with Christ to save the world in God's appointed way. God calls upon his church to minister for him and with him in the saving of perishing souls. Then, in the place of drawing away from Christ, then in the place of drawing away from Christ and from one another, the workers will seek to keep breath of life in the church. They will trim the lamps with the holy oil, which the two olive branches will, through the golden pipes, communicate to them. Light will be imparted by the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. God will test every church in our world. Those who know the truth but are not doers of the word are the worst stumbling blocks we could have in our work of advance. And that is a fact. I've had friends that were wanting to get together, like, for example, I'm not going to mention any names, but to actually go out and do seminars, Revelation seminars and stuff like that, and everything was getting ready to go, but then all of a sudden, interest was lost. Not on my part, but on the people that were going to help, and then all of a sudden, it just never came to be. I can't do it alone. You can't. Can't be done. That's why I'm so excited about this convocation that's coming up in Indiana in September, because we're going to, for the first time, actually do a Revelation seminar for the community if the people come. If they don't come, they don't come. We have gotten permission to put a banner out front for a week, so hopefully we'll get, I don't care if we only get 10 people, you know, as long as we get some people in the area. And then the word will spread from there. Continuing and finishing up, it says, God calls upon his people to arouse and trim their lamps. Never till Zion travails for perishing souls can she see the working of the Holy Spirit in sinners born again. Christ is waiting to be gracious to those who will labor in one spirit and one mind to minister the truth for this time. Christ has appointed the Christian ministry and the various means of grace comprehended in the ministry. When unity in Christ is revealed, when Jesus is acknowledged by precept and practice, the Holy Spirit will reveal the willingness of the two anointed ones to empty the golden oil out of themselves into the vessels prepared to receive it. So, you're not going to get the latter rain unless you're prepared to receive it. Literally. Give me my highlighter. So I guess we'll pick it up here next week, Letter 17, March 11, 1892. We're going to sing first, right? I'm still getting used to this. And then we're going to have the children's story, I guess, Mondo and Donna are going to do it if he's here. Did Mondo get in? Is he here? I don't see him. Raise that up. All right, we'll be back in a minute. I'm going to get a drink of water.